Yesterday we heard very useful things about considering and right considering, and right considering conditions, right understanding. You said you can have some understanding from hearing each time. Keep on, don't stop and do good, but what does good, not I. So this was a very good reminder. When I listen, it is afterwards a condition to think about it. I still hear your words, but the thinking can be just a story with self is thinking, not pariyatti, but when it is right considering, it is considering wisely, as Sarah said, and then it is pariyatti. And I like to hear more about the considering, which is so important.
Can anyone stop thinking?
No.
Can anyone stop thinking of other thing else rather than the teachings?
No. So it's all by conditions.
It's so common. It's that way. So one can see the way one has accumulated and the way anatta-ness always at any moment. Instead of trying to find a way to understand at that very moment that is not self and why it thinks like that, because of anatta. So the main point is understanding the anatta-ness, because when one says that it's not self, anatta means not self, it means that there is some understanding of that reality. Otherwise, one cannot say that that is not self. It's not just follow the word, that is not self. But it is the understanding of that which one begins to see that it's not self. This is right considering. Not thinking in words and try to have method, how, but at moment of understanding, a characteristic as it is. Right then, it's right considering. Because, for example, this morning I met Khun Sern at the table, his table eating with his daughter. And I just put my hand on the table and I said, Dhamma. See? To remind that anything or everything is not self. At moment of touching, there's hardness. So at moment of seeing, it is visible object. At moment of thinking, it's moment of sanya, which remembers what one is thinking about. See, that is the reminder. Right then, we don't have to have many chapters about anatta-ness, but by understanding that whatever arises is real, and that's the meaning of Dhamma. We don't talk about that which does not appear, which does not rise, but we are talking about now, Dhamma, what is real, that is seen is real, is a reality, and seeing is real. So we are talking about anything now here to understand the teachings or the enlightenment of the Buddha, that he penetrated the truth of whatever appears to the end, nothing more than the truth, the absolute truth. So any time when there can be conditions for thinking, considering, it arises and it shows its anatta-ness more and more, very naturally.
Sarvajan, do you mean the kind of thinking that happens without intending to think? That is, it's not a case of deciding to consider.
Yeah, it seems like there is no intention at all. But since one studies and knows that every moment citta accompanies by intention, so just to learn to understand in order to have less and less attachment to that reality with ignorance, this is the way to have less ignorance, because of there is more understanding. not other way. And this is pariyatti, and it can condition moment of really understand with sati. Because we use the word sati before there can be any understanding of sati, right? Which is wrong, like being aware, but no understanding of what awareness is. It cannot be awareness at all without understanding. So from birth to up to now, we just talk and speak the word that we don't really understand at all before we hear the teachings of the Buddha. Any word. Like sitting, see? Walking, eating. No understanding of what we are talking about.
So it is actually studying the present reality that is the right consideration, not just thinking, because there is always a story about realities.
Buddha taught, so those people heard. So now, whenever there is the hearing about the teachings, that's like Buddha taught those who came to see him, see? So it's the way to, whenever there is an understanding from hearing or reading or thinking about that Buddha had taught, that's the way to have more understanding of what he taught. Otherwise, we will follow the others' words, believing in those words, not really study what Buddha taught.
It seems that there can be considering without thinking in words.
We don't have to find out at all whether it's this or that, but understanding what Buddha taught. He taught about seeing and that which is seen, because he penetrated the true nature of seeing as just a moment of a reality arising by conditions. It sees and then it falls away. Who knows that right now? But it's must be like this for sure, because at the moment of seeing, it seems like there's hearing as well. But it cannot be like that, because seeing has different conditions from hearing. Mm-hmm. It cannot be at the same moment. So by hearing, there can be more confidence on what should be object of understanding according to the teachings of the Buddha. Not other thing else, only just that which is now appearing. And we don't have to think by way of hearing, thinking, considering, or anything. But there is the understanding at moment when it appears before, because there's more conditions for understanding it. Otherwise, understanding cannot arise. Even seeing sees many, many times a day, all day long. But there cannot be the understanding of seeing as it is if conditions is not enough. It does mean that I want to understand now that seeing is not me. Impossible, because conditions of letting go is not there.
That would be a hindrance.
Certainly. When there's the I who try other way or so hard to understand, that person doesn't see the amount of the accumulation of ignorance from eons and eons ago. So how can it go away just for a few hours or few words? And one learn to know what patience is. Because even we talk about patience, see? But what time or what moment or when is patience? And it's parami. Otherwise, it's impossible to eradicate kilesa, defilements at all. It's so very natural to learn to understand what everyone takes for self, for the others, and for things. Rather than saying, try to do this, see? Impossible. All are anatta.
Talking about pariyatti and just the understanding of what appears now, beginning to understand reality, a friend on our discussion list had a question about pariyatti. He said, understanding of the concept that there are several dharmas arising together. For example, if there's considering that there are five khandhas or a process of jitas, for example, if there's considering in the right way, is this pariyatti?
If you don't call it pariyatti at all.
Then it's just wise or unwise considering, depending on whether there's any understanding.
When it's not the direct understanding of a reality, all are pariyatti.
I think you thought it wasn't pariyatti. So if it's five khandhas or considering about cheetahs in a process, still pariyatti.
And it has to be the understanding of reality too, but not the direct understanding. There are three levels of understanding reality: pariyatti, patipatti, and pativeda. But if there's no considering at all about whether one understands what Buddha taught, even just one word from the very beginning or not, one just patipatti, see? Just hear the word patipatti, follow that instantly. It means that that person doesn't understand even just one word of the Buddha from the very beginning.
And I think it all comes down to the consideration. For example, in a book one might just read through about cheetahs in a process but no understanding of anything, like a shopping list, then not pariyatti, but only if it's wise consideration of cheetah.
Because
right,
the intellectual understanding only will lead to the direct understanding.
And I think you've explained before that it's only certain intellectual understanding that can lead to direct understanding, or that, to put it another way, one has to know one's level, because trying to understand things that are too detailed and not capable of being understood directly, for example, is not pariyatti, cannot be pariyatti.
So, first of all, when one heard any of the teachings, what's the truth right then? To know that one doesn't have any understanding of anything in and around at all. And this is a point for seeing that there should be understanding instead of not understanding as before, because one has opportunity to hear while the others do not have. So no thinking about, I shall go away, not hearing that sound of drum. See? Mm-hmm. Anything which appears is conditioned. Hearing is conditioned. That sound is conditioned. But what about the understanding of those realities as of anything at all, but just one reality? Hearing is hearing. The sound is the sound.
So no idea of going to a special place?
What for?
Well,
no,
I say
understanding
that because...
of anatta. No understanding of anatta. Draws one or drags one away from this moment. No patience, no resolution, no truthfulness, no parami.
On the other hand, I think it's really something so subtle. Like even when one listen to Achan, the cell can set in any time. When yes, Achan talk about, we have to consider what is now, then the self tried to consider. And when Achan said about letting go, the self tried to let go. And so it's really depending on what arises at that moment, I think. So it's the going away from the truth. This can happen any time. And not only when one go to a place to have special environments.
It shows ignorance again, see? And what can get rid of it? Only right understanding.
But definitely we should not attend a discussion thinking that there won't be any wrong view or attachment or agusala, because that would be itself another kind of wrong view.
Right.
And had good example after the discussion.
Yeah. Tom, what you said just reminded me of it. We can be listening. We can be listening to Ajahn and you know, as we'd say in English, listening heart. Really, you know, think we're really listening. And then suddenly, she will say something like, "But is there seeing now?" And suddenly realize that while we're listening so carefully, trying to work some of it out or follow it, we are diverted from. Is there seeing now from the reality that appears now? It's so easy to get taken away from the reality that appears now through lopa, trying to even subtly try to work things out as we hear Ajahn or somebody else explaining the Dhamma. There's this subtle working out all the time that you can think is maybe considering, but then when I suddenly, it was Sarah yesterday who mentioned something about Anajan always takes us back to what about seeing now? And I thought, yeah, right. and I recognized the mind had been pulled away, even though listening to Dhamma.
It indicates the strength, the anusya of attachment. It can arise after that is heard only 3 moments after that. So soon.
Very soon. And when you think you're listening to Dhamma, realize there's well, I recognize there's a great attachment to listening to Dhamma too. Mm-hmm. So while there may be some kusala jitta there is also a lot of attachment.
So it leads to understanding more about anattaness, see?
Yes. Yes.
Getting back to Pam's comment, because people sometimes say to us, well, what's the difference between going to a meditation center and you guys going to Thailand for discussion, and I think that the answer is clearly that we come here not with the expectation of having more kusala of any particular kind or having less kusala, but to learn more about the teachings, to learn more what is said about the development of understanding, because as we see it, the theoretical understanding has to precede the actual direct understanding. So it's not with a view to actually having direct understanding or anything like that, but just out of our interest in learning more about the teachings. No expectations, apart from the usual ones, of course.
No limitation, only just in one room, in a room. We can go anywhere.
And I agree with what you're saying, and overall I think that's what we come to listen to the Dhamma to, you know, because that's the way there can be more understanding. But I think moment to moment while listening to the Dhamma or preparing to come, there's so many moments of avijja and attachment and silabhata paramasa that arise just momentarily, moment to moment. Just the way it is.
Yes, no expectations of...
Right.
That there's going to be no wrong view or purified mind or anything mm-hmm. like that.
Well, it can be so subtle, so very, very subtle, and I expect it can be much more subtle than we even recognize.
Then
right
one
now.
Knows that that's the teachings of the Buddha, so subtle.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the subtleties will only increase the more understanding there is. Like Ajahn said, it gets harder and harder.
Right, like we've discussed how the
asavas of attachment, ignorance, wrong view, completely unknown, and then what about the anusyas, the defilements which don't even arise, just the tendencies just ready to spring up, completely unknown?
Well, I agree with what Anne says about subtle ideas of wrong practice and so forth, but I think if one came to a discussion with the view that it was going to be an opportunity for practice, then that would be no different from going to a meditation center.
Good. If that's the way what I said came across, then I said it incorrectly.
No, you didn't. No. I'm just distinguishing between the inevitable wrong view that accompanies everything we do
right.
from for it being a motivating reason or doing something.
The difference is that
because here we're having discussion, so even though there are bound to be moments of wrong effort or wrong practice, by discussing and just considering, it's a way that understanding can develop to know such moments for what they are, as conditioned dharmas. But if one goes somewhere where it is encouraged that those moments of wrong effort and wrong practice is the way, and and one is encouraged to develop those wrong efforts and wrong practice, it will just lead to more wrong effort and more wrong practice and lead further away from the truth. That's the difference, I think.
That's micro is put to me, and then I don't have any question, but okay. Since it was asked me, so I should say something. I'm happy to share what I'm thinking to you.
How about Dharma at the breakfast table?
A lot of reality there. Yes. And Sara, it is in the sutta, there is any phrase that there is no one? My question is, did you read in the sutta, do you have any phrase, any the Buddha already taught there is no one?
The Buddha taught
Sabbe Dhamma Anatta, all Dhammas.
Yes.
No one, all Dhammas, not self.
Yes. Dhamma no is Anatta.
Yes.
And Dhamma is rise according to condition.
Yes.
But no conclusion that there is no one.
Right, because he said only khandhas, only dhatus, and these only dhammas, and these are no one.
But not the words in sutta. No phrase that is no one. Dhamma is anatta.
Yes.
Anatta.
Yes. And he said only dhammas, and dhammas are anatta.
Yes. Yeah, dhamma is anatta. So with that phrase, that
nothing other than dhammas.
Yeah, with that phrase, vulnerable Sariputta become. She suddenly understand. Yeah. And tell us, John, do you remember any moment in the past life?
Sorry, did you ask me?
Yes.
Question for each of us. Yours is interesting.
Do I remember any moment in my past life?
Yes.
No.
No?
No.
Do you want me to have you?
Okay, please.
Yes or no?
Yes, please. I would like to hear.
Okay.
Good.
Be open mind and forget about your thinking. Don't attach to any thinking and then everything. Do you remember yesterday? Where I meet you?
Who are you asking?
Okay, I can.
Okay. Right. Seeing in the past life and previous life that it's exactly the same as now.
Yes,
so
exactly.
So that's the way to answer whether I could remember past life or not.
Yes, exactly.
Past life is not different from this life.
Exactly.
Because there's hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, and thinking.
Yes, exactly. So it is a way. You already live eons like that. That is your past life. That is anatta. Anatta.
Do you find in the suttas where it is said that is anatta? Any phrase in the suttas?
I don't know. That is my thinking.
And what about future life? Do you know your future life?
The same.
Seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, and thinking.
And I just would like to say to you that the memory, I would like to add is because yesterday is already the memory. Last year already the memory. And it's the same for 2,500 years before. It is the same. It belongs to no one, but it is already there. You already passed.
Dead. It is already there.
It already passed.
Passed.
Yeah. Already passed. Yeah.
Right. Even a moment ago is already passed.
Yeah.
So what?
So that is your past life. Moment of past life that you already have. When you remember, that is such moment. Is your past life already?
Right. So what's the point?
No, I ask you if you would like to remember past life. And
I have no interest in remembering my past life.
All are the same.
It's just more of the same.
Past, present,
now.
Future.
Understand. understanding this moment is more
is
precious.
This, is this part of the teachings? Is this part of the Dhamma?
You understand that, yes. It is a big parami for the understanding now. Parami is an understanding, not anyone
I don't
who
see
who
how
anything.
This relates to understanding the present moment.
Yes, present moment is the same.
The
it's
same
passed
as...
Passed on already? Passed away already?
No, present moment is not passed away already. I don't agree with that.
No, when I talk to you, it's passed already. It's passed on.
Are you saying there's no such thing as present moment reality?
No, I don't say so.
Okay, good. So present moment reality is present moment reality, yes. Not the same as past moment.
The same in the thinking, in the...
Not the same.
I mean, yesterday is the same, like...
Why go away from the present moment? Present moment reality is what needs to be understood,
yes.
Not understanding about...
Only understand can understand the present
lives.
Moment.
Mm.
Yeah.
Right.
Your thinking is it's a thinking, it's another reality already.
Mm-hmm. We can think about the past, but the present moment reality is what can be directly experienced.
Your thinking about the past and your thinking about present moment is the same. It's the thinking, it's another thinking already.
Well, thinking is thinking.
Yes, thinking is thinking. Thinking
yeah.
is reality.
But the present moment reality is capable of being directly experienced.
Yes.
But not the same as thinking about the present moment reality, but there is thinking and there is direct experience.
But always thinking, when you remember what you're thinking, is already passed away.
I'm not sure what you're trying to say. It seems to me you're not interested in the present moment reality, but you're trying to say that there's only thinking.
No, that is thinking, that is seeing, mm-hmm. and what I would like...
And seeing is not thinking.
Yes, no.
Right. And visible object is not thinking. Right.
No.
So different realities.
Many, many realities.
Right. And at moment of seeing, in fact, there's no thinking.
No.
Right.
More questions about on three kinds of manasikara which we've been discussing. And okay, so when we talk about aravana patipatika manasikara, we know it's referring to the chetasika, which makes way or paves a way for citta and other chetasikas to experience the object. My question is, when we're talking about viti patipatika manasikara and Javana Patipatika Manasikara, and they are referring to two cittas, the Panchadwara Vajana Citta and the Manodwara Vajana Citta. Why is it called Manasikara? Because it's the citta, not Manasikara, the Chetasika. So we know we've discussed why it's called Viti and Patipatika, making way, but why Manasikara is used in that context.
Or is why this and that, why not this and why not that? Yeah.
Is it because just three kinds of manasikara, okay, well, three kinds of patipatika, three kinds of making way or paving the way in different aspects for the cittas in a process or for the kusala and akusala, but any particular reason why they are
so what's the meaning of manasikara?
Manasikara is the reality that attends or makes way. So it's just that meaning.
So it's only that?
Only that, yes. And the other question I have is, we've had some discussion at the beginning about why, unless one's particularly talking about a function, it's better to, or more appropriate to refer to kusala and akusala cittas. So, javana patipatika manasikara, why not kusala, akusala, patipataka, manasikara in that context? Any reason that javana is used there?
Without the javana patipataka, javana cannot arise.
No, right. But so we're saying that generally, unless we're talking about function, better to use kusala or akusala, but actually javana is used quite a lot, and also in survey, javana viti chitas is referred to, and the javana viti, which are kusala or akusala. So it's just in the context of why better to refer to kusala or akusala rather than javana.
If we use the word kusala, we mean what function it performs.
If we use javana,
what kusala
function? Kusala.
We don't need to use the javana.
No, exactly.
Because so we know that it performs a function.
Okay.
Like seeing.
Yes.
It's no enough.
It's enough, yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay, so just that when we talk about kusala or akusala, no need to mention the function, but often when referring to viticitas, javana is used rather than kusala or akusala.
So sampaticchana is also viticitta.
Yes.
So, but when we talk about kusala, kusala cannot be
function. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just that it has that function. And when we refer to javana, patipataka, manasikara, is it referring to the function of javana in that case, or just to?
Because we don't have kusala, it's shorter than saying kusala, akusala, and kriya citta patipataka.
Right. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Like viti, we don't have to talk about sampatichana santirana.
Javana is used as shorthand, but if we're being specific, then more appropriate to refer to kusala or akusala, unless talking about the function.
When we talk about chati.
Yeah.
Ajahn, could you please explain more about the parami?
Chitta, each moment is full of the akusala defilement, subtle one, like anusya, and it will condition any akusala moment as long as it's there. So Buddha taught us to eradicate the anusya, the latent tendency, not just trying not to have lobha and dosa, but without the understanding which can eradicate the anusya. So since one realizes it should take quite a long time to understand the teachings of the Buddha. If there is no patience enough, we will not study anymore. We try to have the other short way or easy way to understand, which is impossible because we don't know who Buddha was if we think that way. But by beginning to hear about the teachings, we realize the Buddha's virtues. Each word couldn't be understood so quickly as we wouldn't want to. So it takes time, quite a long, long time, for each word like Dhamma. What is real now? Like visible object is real. Is someone here real? That idea of something or someone is only thinking or idea about that which is seen. So it takes quite a long, long time to really see that no one here at all. At moment of seeing, it can be just that which is seen and the seeing. And since it takes quite a long time, we call it parami, patient, right? In order to understand whatever appears, until one can realize the Four Noble Truths. Without patience, it's impossible. So all these qualities are parami, the factors of realizing the true natures, the true nature of realities. Otherwise, citta must be conditioned by akusla, the anusya. Avicca, ignorance, is anusya. Attachment is anusya. Other defilement, also some of them are anusya, that should be eradicated. Or would you like your mind to be as dirty and dark and full of kilesa like before? We can see the danger of having the akusala more and more, like the ill deeds. If there is no akusala latent tendency, there can never be that at all.
The literal meaning of parami is perfections, right? So do you mean that...
I don't mind whether it's translated that way or not, but I think that we better understand what parami is.
So do you mean that is it actually the kusala qualities are being perfected gradually so that it can reach perfections in that sense?
Being able to realize the Four Noble Truths.
Yes. Okay.
Can parami develop in daily life, and in what way?
Otherwise, how can there be parami if it's not daily life?
But I think that parami can be developed with right understanding, but without right understanding, it cannot be parami, right?
It is pre-parami.
Like now there is right considering of the teachings and of dharmas, so paramis are being developed now, like kanti parami, satcha parami, adhitana parami, and so on.
So actually, is it developed along with understanding? So is it, usually we have the idea that it's something separated. You have parami on one side and then the development on the other side. But through Achan's explanations, it becomes very clear that it's actually the process of developing understanding is also the process of developing all the parami until it's completed so that the Four Noble Truths can be realized. Is that right?
And just as a quick review, because she's referred quite a lot in the last few days to the anusiyas, the latent tendencies that have to be eradicated along the way. So there are 7 anusiyas, latent tendencies, 2 that have to be eradicated first at the stage of sotapanna, state by sotapatti magga, and these are vichikicca, doubt, which has been mentioned quite a lot, and ditti, wrong view. If wrong view, ditti is not eradicated, no other anusiyas can be eradicated. And then another 2 are eradicated at the stage of anagami, kama raga anusya, that is attachment to sense objects, and patiga, which is just another word for dosa, aversion. So all kinds of attachment to sense objects and all kinds of aversion only eradicated by the anagami. And then that's 4, the last 3 anusya's latent tendencies only eradicated by the arahat, and they are avijja, mana, and bhavaraga, attachment to becoming. So if there's still ditti, no other anusiyas will ever be eradicated. So ditti and vichikicca have to be eradicated first, but those anusiyas are so strong, ready to condition akusala at any time. So this is why she was mentioning it in this context of developing the paramis in order for the
defilements and the roots, the latent tendencies, to be completely eradicated.
Yes, I think as Tan said again,
people kind of have an idea of doing something to develop the perfections, and again, it's often with an idea of someone doing something, but actually cannot even be the beginning of developing perfection if it's not with right understanding of dharmas as anatta.
I have heard that dosa or lobha can be the object of sati and panya. So why there cannot be sati and panya on health plane?
On is health plane now here?
Because I have heard that there are no opportunities to learn dharma, to understand dharma on the health plane.
Can dog and cat learn dharma?
Yes, but I...
And elephant, can they learn dharma, study dharma?
So now I want to understand why.
Because it's the rebirth consciousness is the result of akusala kamma, no panya at moment of birth at all. No wholesome cetasikas accompany the akusala vipaka, which performs the function of birth or rebirth. No conditions in that life.
So it depends on the first moment of life.
Right. Very important too.
Ayuhana.
So as I understand Ajahn's answer, she's saying the reason there can't be the development of understanding in certain planes is because there's not the hearing of the Dhamma in those planes in the first place.
Oh, like can it understand if a lizard is now here?
Right, the lizard, the animal here, will hear our voices but won't understand the language. So that means no hearing of the Dhamma for that being.
How the moment of light can decide which relating, which relationship between the first moment and the next moment of light?
There are different kamas, kusala kamas and akusala kamma. When the patisanticitta of the first moment of this life is akusala vipaka, the result of akusala kamma, no opportunity to attain enlightenment and to understand Dhamma. Even those who have patisanticitta without panya, see, it can be the result of kusala kamma, but not with panya. That person is not interested in listening or developing understanding. Because of no panya there at moment of patisanticitta. It's limited by patisanticitta.
So just taking it back to the discussion on ayuhana, can we say that because the accumulation of karma that conditions that moment of patisandhi, which also contains all other kind of karmas that can bring results in that life, because at that moment of birth all the karma that has been accumulated and is ready to bring results in life, it means that if it's the patisandhi with no roots, then no opportunity at all for panya to arise at all in that life.
But
that in the time of the Buddha.
But that even some people are interested in hearing the Dhamma, that doesn't necessarily mean that they are born with Panya as Hetu, right?
Until Panya of Samatha or Vipassana arises, so one can be sure. Or at moment of hearing the teachings, when there cannot be understanding at all. It is Patisanti without Panya. But it depends, because it depends on opportunity, like one person at Buddha's time, Jullapantaka, or, Kunina, will you tell us about that, please?
Kandaka was the horse that...
No, I mean Jullapantaka.
Or even the dust, rubbing the dust.
Yeah, or even this one can be...
The horse was Kandaka and let the Bodhisattva out of the palace. And then the Bodhisattva took leave of Kandaka, and Kandaka was very sad. But Kandaka could not attain enlightenment, but in the next rebirth he was a deva, and then he could attain enlightenment because there were enough conditions. He had heard the Bodhisattva preach and developed some understanding, maybe, but not when he was a horse.
And what about Jullapantaka?
That was rubbing the dust with a cloth, and he had to keep on rubbing the dust.
Before that, he could understand.
Well, he seemed rather with lots of ignorance.
You see that it doesn't mean that he had no understanding at all, but not to the degree that it can understand the nature of reality.
And what about the horse, can one say, because it was rebirth, the Patisanda, no root of Panya, so... no understanding, but the previous accumulated understanding in other lives and the kusala in that life, enough to, at the last moments of life, karma sufficient to bring result in deva realm. I think that's all one can say.
Who will be born in hell now? Anyone who's not Sotapanna?
That's our fear.
But after that birth,
yes,
they can... Yeah.
If we say in hell realm, because of Patisandhicitta, first of all, no opportunity, and two, not possible for Panya to develop. But what about when Mahamoggallana visited the hell realm? Well, we know no Mahamoggallana now, but... doesn't it indicate that for those at that time, no?
Not as much because of the birth consciousness.
Right. So could there be any Panya when they listen to Mahamoggallana?
Because at that moment can be a moment of appreciation of the words only.
Right.
But when the Bodhisattva was a wise animal, is it not an exception for the Bodhisattva in his birth as animal?
He couldn't understand the teachings like us now. Mm-hmm. Just hearing.
Yeah. Like when there was a fire and he was a young bird and who couldn't escape, but he made an act of truth. So that
only that, by accumulation.
Yeah.
If we think of it as an animal rather than accumulations, it's very hard to understand that it's the accumulations I don't know, are the conditions for certain actions to happen?
Blanket dog saving its...
the master from the fire, pulling the master out of the fire. No understanding, but there's just that accumulation to help. And...
an another good example of anatta.
Where are you from? Hell? Where?
One thing for sure is we've been everywhere.
Peter realms, hell realms, yeah. Heavenly abodes.
It's so long that you are there. So long.
Glad not to remember. Exactly.
Because there's no nada, so what does it mean of the questions, where are you from?
To be reminded that maybe from hell or heaven or anywhere, but kusala kama, conditioned rebirth consciousness to be here and now, to be this person for a while, not long, and no more as being this person. Make the best of this life.
It can remind us
not to waste any opportunity to hear Dhamma and to consider Dhamma.
I have learned that the way to the enlightenment is from Pariyatti to Patipatti and Patibheda. So in the Pariyatti stage, is there any step?
Without Pariyatti, can there be Patipatti?
No.
No. Without Patipatti, can be Patibheda? Without the first Vipassana Jnana, can there be the second one? Stage by stage.
Yes, but I want to add about the only in the Pariyatti.
Pariyatti is all about realities, not just language or concept, but it's all about reality. For example, Dhamma means any reality which is real at this moment. Sound is Dhamma, taste is Dhamma, seeing is Dhamma, hardness is Dhamma. No matter where you are, it's not you. Everything is Dhamma because it has its own characteristic. For example, hardness, no matter where, it cannot be changed from being hard only. So hardness here, you take from my arm or me or my hand, and hardness here, exactly the same because it is hard, only hard. It cannot experience anything at all. But still, hardness here is conditioned by uttu, temperature, and hardness here can be conditioned by kamma, citta, uttu, and ahara. That's why one can see whether one touch this or touch that. But they do not belong to anyone at all. You take hardness from head to toe as my body. But in reality, hardness doesn't know that you think that way at all. It just arises by conditions and it falls away. But the seeing just sees one single moment and it falls away and it conditions the next moment, experiencing the same object, but with another cetasika, vitakka, must be there. Because it does not perform the function of seeing until the like or dislike, which is conditioned by the latent tendency, ready to arise as soon as seeing and the other citta moment have fallen away. It's there unknowingly like now. They are all Dhamma, does not belong to anyone at all. It's arising, it's falling away. No one can control. if there is no reality which can experience an object, no trouble at all. Because no experiencing. But at moment of experiencing something, it does not stop at just seeing. It continues on and on and on and on to know what is that. The first moment of life, this world does not appear yet. Because Patisanthicitta has the same object as citta before death. So it's known through eyes, ears, nose, tongue, body or mind at all. And now at this moment there are bhavangas in between each process. So it's just nothing appear, and then something appear, and then disappear. What's the use of experiencing, and then nothing, everything's gone. And experience again, and everything of that which is experienced gone completely, never come back. All these we're conditioned little by little to understand the worthless of experiencing. To be born just to experience, and then nothing is left. Last life, many, many experiences, all gone, nothing left. And this life is like that. Each moment is like that. Otherwise, there is nothing to condition the letting go, clinging to everything which is gone.
So you asked about the whether there's any stage in pariyatti. So can we say that there can be the beginning of pariyatti when there's understanding of what appears now until it becomes satchanyana? So it's also many different degrees when the understanding of anattaness of whatever appears now becomes firmer and firmer, right?
Is there any understanding of seeing as it is now?
Intellectual level.
So one knows that that is not enough. But that can be object of understanding when it develops more and more as it is. So at this moment, seeing cannot appear to ignorance as a reality. It cannot appear to attachment as not self. It cannot appear to any akusala reality at all. But it can appear to panya and wholesome realities which arises with panya. So at this moment of seeing that there is seeing, but there is no understanding of seeing as a reality, there is no understanding of the arising and falling away of seeing, because seeing arises, it sees, and then it falls away. That can be known little by little, and it can be direct object of panya which develops to understand it as it is, like Buddha has enlightened all this truth. So he taught us to understand gradually until Sangha, the Aryan Sangha, the third James, because Buddha is the first, Buddhang Saranang Kacchami, he is the Putta Ratana, and Dhamma is Dhamma Ratana. Ratana means gems, a precious gem. And Sangha Ratana, see. If there is no one who can follow the teachings until that one becomes enlightened, there is no Sangha Ratana. But from hearing and understanding little by little, panya develops. And one day it can be moment of realizing the Four Noble Truths to be Sangha Ratana. from understanding whatever appears now, little by little. Without understanding realities in daily life, there can never be the enlightenment of the Four Noble Truths at all. Because what is dukkha in the absolute sense? Is there dukkha now?
Yes.
See, all conditioned realities. As long as the understanding of this is not the dukkha, the First Noble Truth. So satyayana means that right understanding is firmly established, that it lopa cannot draw one away from this moment of not understanding. From beginning to know that Buddha taught us about this until there is understanding that it is not other reality. Because after seeing there is other reality, like hearing and thinking, and panya just be able to begin to arise, to understand seeing, to understand hearing, to understand thinking, to understand whatever appears in life as it is. So now, before the penetration of the truth of realities, panya develops to the degree that even right now there can be moment of understanding naturally in between, depending on conditions. But the idea or the understanding of no self is very, very firm before it can penetrate the arising and falling away of reality. There must be the understanding of anything at any time when there are conditions to arise, of panya, to understanding it. Instead of lopa, because lopa suddenly follow the seeing, panya can suddenly arise instead of lopa when it is developed naturally. When people think about the posture of Buddha at moment of enlightenment, what about the posture of Sariputta when he became Sotapanna? Sariputta, the foremost, the great disciple, what position, what posture? Not sitting. We don't know. Standing, listening to Asachi. And what about Anatta Bindika? No place, no special place at all. Just listening to Buddha's words. But before that, we learned from the book that Anatta Bindika would like so very much to go to see Buddha, to listen to his teachings. Before dawn, he couldn't sleep because thinking about he could have heard the teachings from Buddha himself. So he woke up 3 times, but it's so dark that he couldn't go to see him until it's dawn. And another Brahma who said to Buddha, "It's my great wish to hear the words from you." See, what about us? We can, like going to see the Buddha, hearing his own teaching from his mouth, at moment of reading Tipitaka, it seems like we are in front of the Buddha because of the words. It's exactly the same as when he taught the others in his time. And this is what we say, Buddhang saranang kacchami. Only him, Buddha, is my refuge. And it says in Tipitaka, all the true words are my words, Buddha himself said. the word of truth. No matter who said, it's my words, because he knew all the truth. So the words about truth is his word. And each word can be understood clearly if we keep on considering, like questioning. Like Dhamma, no doubt about Dhamma, when there is the understanding that everything which is real is Dhamma. Is moha, not understanding, real? It is, because it's the moment, the exact moment, which does not understand. So do not understand at that moment is a reality. Nobody can set time or object of understanding at all, because even understanding is anatta. And this is Satyayana. All behaviors and manners, no matter in what position, is according to accumulation, the way it is. How many rupas are there at the red flower?
At the where?
Red flower.
Oh, how many?
How many rupas? I mean,
at least eight.
More than that? Is there more than that? Is there more than eight?
Countless. Let me count.
No, I mean that when you talk about red flower, there can never be more than eight flowers, no matter how many leaves you think. Only eight. Cannot be more. But only eight can make different shape and form.
Only eight. Eight in each kalapa, in each group, only eight rupas.
So what about citta? The shade of akusala, attachment, aversion, and the way it conditioned the rupa to arise with it. That's why people act differently, sit differently, think differently. Not just the nama, but also the rupa too. This is Dhamma. And it will be Satyayana when there can be firm understanding about no self at all. Anytime there must be a characteristic of reality appear. And usually only how many rupas appear in a day?
Seven.
Yes. Not more than that.
But in reality, there's 28 rupas.
But they do not appear, all of them, just only seven in daily life.
Seven like through the five doors and the mind doors. What does it appear? Nutriment. Visible object.
Seven does not include.
Three for the body door. Three, see?
And then color, smell, taste.
And sound. These are called the gochara rupas.
So is
the 20
agochara. I'm just kidding.
A good answer.
So what is seen? Arupa only.
The seven appearing through the sense doors, plus the five prasada rupas of eye sense, ear sense, and so on. These 12 are called the gross rupas, but actually even the sense bases only appear through the mind door, so they don't appear in the day. But they're gross and subtle.
Now, does any sense base appear even through mind door?
Don't appear, then what about the others?
Ajahn, all these numbers and discussion of numbers and classifications is just to keep bringing us back to the concept of anatta, is it not?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, non-self. Mm.
Not to get lost in the classifications and that themselves, mm-hmm. but to be reminded that it is a form, not so.
The more detail one knows, the more understanding of anatta is there.
Could you elaborate on that a bit? You said the more detail one knows, the more understanding of anatta is there. Mm-hmm.
Just seeing this, can it condition more understanding of anatta-ness? But without the eye base, without the visible object, without the karma, seeing cannot arise. And in what by what pratyaya is there for eye base to condition seeing, the more there is the understanding, the more one can see that not anyone can do at all.
So we're talking about the present moment.
When there is direct awareness.
So can you say that the details bring out the presence moments even better?
Sorry, I didn't quite catch the detail.
Yeah, break down the present moments better.
Detail relating to the present moment.
By detail, as Ajahn was saying the other day, it's not just kind of remembering how many rupas are gross rupas or how many chittas arise in a process, but it's a very careful consideration of what is dharma, what is manasikara, or why these rupas appear. So it's a consideration, not just the kind of memorizing numbers.
Yesterday, Ajahn, you were asking people where seeing is, and of course when there is understanding of seeing, it's just the reality of seeing, no thought or concern about the fact that actually it arises at the ear sense, so we know that technically speaking that's correct. Seeing, hearing arises at ear sense, seeing arises at eye sense, a very specific, particular rupa. But the point of asking was in order for understanding to develop. It's just that reality, even though it is true. And I think on the first day, Tom was talking about experiencing hardness here, this part of the arm, not here, here or here. So we know that actually, technically, this is correct. Hardness arises at a different point in the body sense, which is all over the body, but when there's understanding of hardness, it just understands the characteristic of hardness, no matter it's here or here or here or anywhere. Now, when she mentioned here and here, your response was, you said, just
rupa nimitta, vijnana nimitta. I was wondering why you said rupa nimitta, vijnana nimitta in response.
Let's talk about here and here first. Here and here is me.
Me, right.
So it's not the understanding of
the reality of hardness, right. Mm-hmm. It's just an idea of my arm or here or there. Right. But actually, we know that here and here is me and my arm, but in fact, the hardness that is experienced does arise at a particular body sense rupa, but even though nothing's known about it when the characteristic appears.
As long as here, here, here,
then
it cannot eradicate the idea of self, because right understanding is not strong enough to really see the arising and falling away of it. Because at that very moment it arises and falls away, but when panya has been developed to that degree, then there's still thinking, even not in word, but the feeling and the thinking or taking that for my body or my arm is still there.
It's still strong. Mm-hmm. And so what was the reason that you said vijnana,
nimitta,
rupa, nimitta,
mm-hmm.
just because of the rapid succession of the appearing of so many different mm-hmm. harnesses is mm-hmm. taken for being here or here. Mm-hmm. So this is what you meant by...
Because you see that from taking the whole as here,
yes,
there must be many, many moments or many, many kalapas there. So it doesn't matter at all, because panya develops by itself, on and on, until it can be sharper and sharper to letting go. And it knows how and when and why too. It doesn't just happen, but there must be conditions for such understanding.
But when it's, for example, hardness arises, and because of the rapid succession of the arising and falling away of hardness, rupa nimitta appears. But when it's
the rupa nimitta of hardness,
of rupa nimitta of hardness, or the experiencing of hardness, so much rapid arising and falling away of experiencing, so the nimitta of that experiencing can appear. But when there's an idea of here or here, it's not rupa nimitta or vijnana nimitta. So I just wondered why you said rupa nimitta or vijnana nimitta, because when
what it's doesn't have nimitta?
Well, nibbana doesn't
only
have
that,
nimitta.
Only
yes.
that.
Any
so before
reality.
That, they're all nimitta.
Nimitta, but even, for example, if there's the wrong taking for self at that moment, like my arm, so then, well, it's thinking, so I suppose it's vijnana nimitta in that sense.
Or vijnana nimitta of thinking.
So we talk about understanding reality which appears, such as hardness. We know this hardness, and whether it's hardness here or hardness there, actually it's just the characteristic of hardness that appears. And we also know that actually what appears is not a reality hardness, but because of the rapid succession of the rising and falling away of many hardnesses, the nimitta of hardness is actually what appears. So the hardness experienced is actually nimitta of hardness, not one hardness. But when there's an idea of, oh, it's hardness here or painful feeling here experienced, then it's actually thinking about the hardness or the pain or the whatever it is that's experienced, because then it's already my arm, my body, me, even though there's no words used. So we can see that actually the understanding has to get closer and closer to the actual reality. So usually it's just a kind of a story, an idea about the reality, but as understanding develops, it is the nimitta of the reality which is known, which appears.
So the reality that appears, for which the nimitta is hardness, is just solidity.
So is it that? There is hardness. I mean, hardness appears through the body sense, but by the time there is any, the object of understanding, it cannot understand just one hardness. So it is actually the succession of many, many hardnesses. That is the image of that, which is the nimitta, which is actually what appears and what is known. So when we talk about understanding the reality of hardness, in fact, it's the nimitta of hardness that's known. And this is even when understanding is very highly developed, even at stages of vipassana jnana, when the understanding is so sharp and really penetrates the truth of the reality. It's still the nimitta of that characteristic of hardness that appears.
So in the same way that the nimitta of a visible object, of colour and form, is what we take to be something. So that's the parallel.
So there is the nimitta of colour or visible object, the nimitta of hardness, the nimitta of these different realities is what we take for being my arm or the cup or the shape. Okay.
Thank you.
And it's because it is the nimitta there can be the idea of the shape or the form or something there.
But I think that's a stage away from just the nimitta and the concept about it. Just the nimitta of hardness or just the nimitta of visible object, and then like the concept of pupil or things or table or legs or arm is still another step away, right?
Well, I think it's just the understanding has to develop to become firmer and firmer, as we said before, so that it's closer and closer to just understanding the reality as just reality, hardness, just hardness, the visible object, just visible object, no idea of shape and form or anything in it at all, no thought of place or where, just that reality that appears.
I have a question on the word talanga, pahana, abandoning by. I think it means abandoning kilesa when there is vipassana jnana, tadanga,
pahana.
Pahana.
Abandoning.
Yeah, abandoning.
High stage.
Vipassana jnana?
Uh-huh, yeah.
Okay, thank you.
First, very many other stages that Nama and Dopa have to be known as they are, one by one. And that brings slowly more detachment. And at the later stages, there is less paying attention to the conditioned realities, but it inclines to Nibbana little by little, more and more. To the unconditioned reality, and when you go through the different stages of vipassana jnana. So letting go of conditioned reality and seeing that nibbana is the best, without clinging.
Can we say that at moment of experiencing directly a reality, a characteristic of one reality at a time, at that moment it is the beginning of abandoning the idea of self, because it's clearer than now. That's why it is vipassana, according to the translation of it, vipassana, not just understanding, like intellectual understanding, but it is the moment of seeing reality as it appears on the palm of the hand, so close. Now, seeing does not appear like that at all, because there is hearing and other things too. It seems like they arise together. But at the moment of only a reality appear, only a reality appears, can there be the understanding of other thing else? So at that moment, it's the direct understanding of such reality, no doubt about that which is the object of understanding. At the level of what is the characteristic of that which experiences in darkness. When the faculty of experiencing the citta or the cetasika or citta and cetasika together as nimitta at that moment, it has to be in darkness, because you cannot see citta in light or taste it at all. So at that moment, it understands the characteristic which can experience whenever it arises. It experiences. The object of it does not appear together at all. Otherwise, it's not the vipassana of the nama which experiences, which is different from the object which is experienced. But it does mean that there is no object of experience or other object after that, one by one, to see that they cannot be all together at one moment, only one by one. And imagine the world of truth is not as light when it's not seeing and visible objects. And usually now, the other doorway also arises and falls away together with the world of sight, the eye-door world, see? Because it's not only seeing, there's hearing in darkness, seeing not in darkness, but hearing in darkness, touching, hardness in darkness, all in darkness. So one will say that the true world of reality must be dark. Only one reality that can appear like a flash, like a flesh, see, no more than that, and then darkness again. So the world of mixed realities are separated into each world as it is. No self at that moment at all, because at moment of experiences, it is that which experiences, no one there. And when it sound again, it can be heard in darkness, different from that which is seen and the seeing, that which is seen. But the seeing itself is dark. So sound is appears in darkness, everything in darkness. Like the world of darkness, only five tiny spots for the appearing of light, or the which is not dark, and the appearing of sound in darkness and other realities in darkness. Is it frightening? Everything is lost. The whole world, as we take it for the world, is so very comfort. Many things together, we do not lose anything at all. But at that very moment, no self, no I, only different realities appear in darkness except light. So you can see that this is real, the truth of whatever is covered by ignorance. And it depends on how many realities are the object or can be the object of that moment, depending on the personal accumulation. And after that, the world comes together as many people and things again. Because even the vipassanayana arises and falls away, depending on how long it takes or it is. If it is not like this, what we heard about the realities cannot be true, but it can be directly experienced as it is, one at a time. When hardness can be experienced in darkness, darkness must be there. When sound can be heard in darkness, darkness has to be there. See? So all of the other doorways are dark. So at the vipassanayana, through mind, only darkness appears. And when it's only one sense, though, only that, it's like a flash. And then in darkness. But it seems like we are not in darkness now, because it's not the experiencing of the truth of reality. When we use the word tathanga pahana, it has to be at that very moment, which pahana overcome the not understanding. And like, why do we talk about seeing with our place, or the where it originated, like right? Because usually we think of seeing is here in the middle of the eyes. Whose eye? Our eyes. So there's the idea of I and my eye and my seeing, or that which is seen. But that is not the abandoning of the idea of self at all. But when there's no idea about where is it, because it just appears to the keen panya, which can see that at that very moment of experiencing with understanding of a reality, there shouldn't be other thinking or other reality in that very moment to be thought of. So at that moment, one can understand that when there is the abandoning of the idea of my seeing or I see, it's just a reality which sees, so that after that, when panya is highly developed, higher again, it can experience the arising and falling away of that seeing. But it's nimitta of seeing. So the world turns on so rapidly that nothing can be understood without the teachings of the Buddha.
I have to consider more when you use the words darkness and light, because it can be used in different meanings, light. But you say when the other doorways are not experienced, they are in darkness. I understand what you mean. And when a reality is experienced, we can say it's light, or do you say it only of visible objects?
Only visible object.
Oh, yeah.
Only one reality of all realities.
But only sound is not light. Sound is not light.
No.
No.
No. Nothing except that.
Only that. Only one. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Everything must conform with the teachings. Never be different.
Ajahn, just before I went outside, I heard you say, is this not frightening when you were talking about everything appearing in darkness? What is it that stops this from being frightening?
Understanding. Because at that moment of frightening in darkness, it's a reality that panya knows.
So no opportunity to be frightened?
It can be when there is condition for its arising.
But not at that moment.
But panya can understand that even in darkness of all realities, any reality, even frightening, is there as our reality. No me at that very moment. Only realities appear as they are, no matter one at a time. Each one has different characteristics. So it's vipassanayana is different from moment of developing or conventional or intellectual understanding. So when we think about seeing, where is it? It's at the middle of the eye, at the eye base. That cannot abandon the idea of self. So Panya knows that it's impossible if there is the clinging or thinking about that. So Panya develops on by knowing that at the other moment, no attention to the place or the body which condition it. It's on the way of abandoning, detachment, all the way. And Panya itself can know that it's what level. No one to be to tell that person at all. No teacher who could say, at this moment, your citta is this. It has to be one's own experience and understanding.
So is this what is meant when the Buddha said, when you see the Dhamma, you see me, because in reality there's no Buddha.
With?
There's no person.
But what about Panya? What about his great virtue, compassion, purity, and wisdom?
And that's what we take for the Buddha.
Right, right. It's the quality. Otherwise, he would be only Siddhartha, not Samma Sambuddho. But when he's Samma Sambuddho, some people may call him Siddhartha, but it does matter because nothing can change the quality of such level of Panya and purity and compassion.
I'd like to say on behalf of us all how much we've appreciated the discussion here on this trip, Ajahn. It's been really wonderful.
It's my pleasure.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.